The International Bible Lesson Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series for Sunday, September 10th, 2017 is from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 1 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord from the New International Version. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." May the Lord bless this reading of His holy word. International Bible Lessons Commentary, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 14, New International Version, September 10, 2017. Questions for discussion and thinking further follow the verse-by-verse International Bible Lesson Commentary. Study hints for discussion and thinking further will help with class preparation and in conducting class discussion. These hints are available on the International Bible Lessons Commentary website, along with the International Bible Lesson that you may want to read to your class as part of your Bible study. You can discuss each week's commentary and lesson at the International Bible Lesson Forum. Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless." Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. See Genesis chapter 16, verse 16. And the Bible is silent about the 13 years between Ishmael's birth and the Lord appearing to Abram at the age of 99. See the meaning of the number 13 in the Bible. In grace, not judgment, the Lord appeared to Abram once again and reaffirmed his covenant with him and his descendants. See Genesis chapter 15. When Abram was 99, he and Sarai were totally unable to have children. Quote, Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it would be important for Abram to hear the Lord say, "I am God Almighty." Because God is gracious and almighty, God would do the impossible. Jesus said, "With God all things are possible." Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And, "Everything is possible for one who believes." Mark chapter 9, verse 23. In light of Abram's listening to Sarai instead of God, resulting in the birth of Ishmael, God told Abram, "Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Walk before me and be thou perfect," in the King James Version. Walking before God does not mean our leading the way for God to follow, but our consciously choosing to walk in the presence of God, knowing that all we do in the presence of God, before God who sees all. Therefore, we should seek to please God with all we do and not live selfishly or sinfully. We should seek to be blameless or perfect or spiritually complete, because all we do is done in the sight of God. Before the Lord commanded Abram to walk before him, the Bible says Enoch and Noah walked with God. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. And Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Both walked faithfully. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, "The righteous will live by faith." Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Later, the Apostle Paul also wrote, "Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Furthermore, wherever Christians go, Christ lives and walks within them. Quote, "The glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis 17, 2. "Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers." The Lord reaffirmed his covenant, or contract, with Abram, and emphasized that not only would he have a son, Isaac, born of Sarai, but he would greatly increase his numbers. God's own son, Jesus the Messiah, would be a descendant of Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah, and God's own son would have a multitude of spiritual descendants. Genesis 17, 3. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, Abram fell face down before the Lord in humility and worship. Abram said nothing to God. Perhaps he had been searching his conscience while God had been silent for 13 years. Therefore, he fell face down before God, with some fear, as well as faith in God. Genesis 17:4. "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations." The Lord told Abram what he would be, and Abram did become the father of many nations through Hagar, Sarah, and Keturah. The Lord determined that Jews and Gentiles would be descended from Abram, and God would spiritually bless and save Jews and Gentiles by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Genesis 17:5. "No longer will you be called Abram, Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." As part of this covenant, God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Abram means father or high father, while the Ham addition means multitude. Abraham would be a father of a multitude. The Apostle Paul emphasized the spiritual meaning of Abraham being the father of many nations, Jews and Gentiles, and of a multitude of people through faith in Jesus Christ. Quote, "And he is then the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised." Romans chapter 4, verse 12. And, quote, "Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all." Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Genesis 17, 6. "I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you." From our knowledge of history, as well as the Bible, we know that God also fulfilled this promise as part of his covenant with Abraham. The greatest kings were King David and Jesus the Messiah. Genesis 17, 7. "I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." God's covenant with Noah and his descendants was an everlasting covenant. The rainbow is a sign that God will never again destroy the entire human race through a flood. The covenant required nothing of Noah and his descendants for God to keep the covenant. God's covenant with Abraham was an everlasting covenant between God and Abraham and his descendants. God, the Almighty, the Lord, Yahweh, would be Abraham's God and the God of Abraham's descendants. But that covenant involved the response of faith on the part of Abraham and his descendants. God's covenant with Noah was unconditional. God's covenant with Abraham was conditional, for God expected Abraham and his descendants to obey him and fulfill the condition of circumcision as part of the covenant. In the covenant with Noah, God would make the sign, the rainbow. In the covenant with Abram, Abram and his descendants would make the sign, circumcision. God will not change, and God is the Lord over all creation and all people. The Bible reveals the truth about the true God, but not everyone will want God to be their God, nor will everyone want to have faith in God and obey God. No matter what some may say or want, the Lord will everlastingly be God, the I Am. Genesis 17, 8. "The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." God also reaffirmed the gift of the whole land of Canaan to Abraham and his descendants. But that did not mean that Abraham's descendants could live in unfaith and disobedience and retain personal possession of the whole land. For example, the Jews were sent into exile to Babylon for 70 years before God enabled them to return and rebuild their temple. In the time of Jesus, the land was controlled by the Romans. Today, Abraham's descendants still live in the promised land. Genesis 17, 9. "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for for the generations to come. God would keep His covenant with Abraham and his descendants, but they were required to keep the covenant for the generations to come. The sign of the covenant was to be circumcision. Later, the Apostle Paul wrote, quote, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love." Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And, quote, "No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God." Romans chapter 2, verse 29. Genesis 17:10. "This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised." A contract must be signed to show that it is accepted or to make it valid before a court of law. The rite of circumcision is similar to signing a contract. When a believer in the Lord accepted the covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants, he circumcised his son, with the hope that his son would also accept the covenant and circumcise his son. By signing the covenant through circumcision, the believer was telling the Lord, "I want you to be my God, and I want you to be the God of my descendants after me." Circumcising your son was an act of faith that the Almighty God would do all He promised, because He is all-powerful, faithful, willing, and truthful. Genesis 17:11. "You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you." The sign was circumcision. By circumcision, the believer accepted, signed the covenant for himself and his descendants, and he would pass down to his descendants the covenant and their responsibility to fulfill the covenant's requirements. Genesis 17:12. "For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household, or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring." Some have suggested that 8 days old was the best time for medical reasons. Others have suggested that God created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh, and Christ rose from his sacrificial death for our sins and redeemed those who would believe in him on the 8th day, which established the new covenant in his blood rather than continue the old covenant in the blood of circumcision. Christ died for all, for Jews and Gentiles. Quote, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. The covenant with Abraham reaffirmed the fact that all people, Jews, Gentiles, slave and free, brought within the circle of Abrahamic faith, needed to have a sign that they were living within that circle of faith, where the Lord was their God. Everyone in the family was to benefit from godly instruction, whether they were members or workers within the family. Genesis 17:13. "Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant." God specified the terms of the covenant again, so there should have been no misunderstanding for Abraham's descendants. In Joshua chapter 5, verses 2 through 8, we learn that the descendants of Abraham who left Egypt had not been circumcised, perhaps by order of the Pharaoh, or from disobedience and neglect. From the terms of this covenant, we can see why circumcision was so important to the Jews as the new covenant was being established, which included Gentiles who no longer needed to be circumcised to be members of God's family. When Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled the Jewish ceremonial laws. So obeying these laws, including circumcision, was no longer required. Genesis 17:14. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. A male who refused circumcision or who refused to circumcise his son was refusing to sign the covenant that God had established through Abraham. He was saying to God, I do not want you to be my God. I do not believe that you are God as revealed in the scriptures. I do not believe you are almighty. I do not want you to be God over my family. I do not want to obey you. I will not raise my family to acknowledge you as God or obey your commands. The Lord told Abraham that those who would not sign the covenant agreement through circumcision were by their actions excluding themselves from the circle of faith and were to be excluded from the family of faith. The family of faith was not to tolerate their rebellious and misleading influence over others. The New Testament makes clear that the followers of Jesus Christ did not need to be circumcised. Questions for discussion and thinking further. 1. Why do you think God waited until Abraham was 99 years old before speaking to him again? 2. How did God describe himself, and what was the very first thing God commanded Abram to do? 3. What was Abram's response when God spoke to him? 4. What is one difference between God's covenant with Noah and his covenant with Abraham? 5. In his covenant, what two blessings did God promise Abraham and his descendants? International Bible Lesson, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr., September 10, 2017. A Contract Worth Signing, Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. When it comes to serving the Lord, age and ability do not seem to be factors, because the Lord is God Almighty. God will do all that He wisely deems important or necessary in the world and in our lives. When David was only a boy, God empowered him to kill a giant to save the kingdom, and later David became the king. When Abram was 99, and it was physically impossible for Sarai and him to have a son, God made a solemn covenant with him and his descendants and promised him a son. Though only one son by Sarai was important to Abram and Sarai, God pledged even more. Abraham's multitude of descendants would include nations and kings, and history shows that God did all he promised. Abram would have his name changed from Abram, which means father or high father, to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Sarai's name was changed to Sarah, and Abraham and Sarah became examples of the power of Almighty God to work wonders through anyone's life. When the Lord appeared to Abraham, God told him, Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. God required Abraham to trust him, to believe his words, and to walk blameless by faith. God will never say, it's okay to sin a little. God also required Abraham and all his male descendants to sign the covenant or contract through the rite of circumcision, a contract they signed in their flesh. When Abraham's descendants faithfully circumcised their sons, they showed that they accepted God's covenant to be their God and the God of their families. Begin or close your class by reading the short weekly International Bible Lesson. Copyright 2017 by L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Permission granted for not-for-profit use.